I think that is the first time that we have officially run out of chairs in both our kids' area and in here. It's good stuff. Sex sells, I guess. I think they made some mention earlier of the warning of just if in case you missed that during this series, we're going to be talking about some serious stuff. And I am not going to skirt some issues, so I'm just not trying to make anybody feel uncomfortable here if you have a small child in here or whatever. Just want to remind you of that and remind you that our kids' church preschool are here, and we'd love for them to get to hang out in there. They'll learn more in there and have a much better time anyway than having to listen to me, especially. It is good to get to be with you this morning. I am really excited about this series. I've been praying about this for quite some time, about what this was going to be about, and how this was going to come down, and a lot of prayer, a lot of time, a lot of studying has been put into this. This basically was birthed just kind of out of the need of just constantly having just one person right after another come into our lives, my wife and I's life, our staff, our church, so many people coming to us and saying, you know what, we are about to take the easy way out. We're just done with being married. And just seeing so many families, young families, older families, just saying, you know what, we're tired of each other. We're ready to give up. We're ready to quit. And our hearts have just been breaking for this happening. In fact, I literally just minutes ago was talking with a pastor, a friend of mine, who pastors one of the churches here real close to us. Such a great guy, and we just got to talking about this, and I said, man, is this an issue? Have you been dealing with this? And he said, absolutely. He said, as a matter of fact, what has happened is we had a very prominent couple in our church get a divorce, and as soon as they got a divorce, he said it just put the bug in everybody else's head that, you know, maybe we should do that. And he said, they've had just couples like crazy. And I want to be a voice today that if you are married and you are at the point of saying, you know what, I think we need to just call it quits, or I'm tired of this, or I don't know if I can handle it anymore, I want to be the voice, and I want you to know this is not coming from me. This is what God has laid on my heart to share with you, that you need to hang in there. You need to hang in there. We got one amen out of that. We should have had like a bunch of people clapping on that one, but that's okay. We'll just take what we can get today. Hanging in there is hard to do. Hanging in there is very hard to do. In fact, we see so much about marriage these days. In fact, people marrying for the wrong reasons, some of those reasons being, he looked good. He's a good-looking man. I'd like to spend my life, waking up to that man or that woman. And so we get involved sometimes in marriages, maybe for the wrong reasons, but, God can still work through things like this, and other reasons being things like, this person was just reliable. I've never dated anybody that was reliable, and I knew that, if they could pick me up on time, maybe I should marry them, because that's a good reason, and let's roll with that. Let's try that way. And then this is a serious, honest one, and I've heard people say this before, just even in why they date certain people sometimes is because it's the first person that hasn't abused them. And I just think to myself, oh my gosh, what a crappy dating life if all of the people you've dated have been in. But it's so true that so many people are abusing people that they date or their spouses, that when we finally find one of those people that don't do that, we're like, well, they don't do that. At least they don't do that. I should spend my life with them because at least they don't. And I'm sure there's other things we could fill in the blank there other than being abusive. I want to give you some reasons for divorce. In fact, before we even get into that, here's what I want you to do. You have in your seats a little card that you had when you got here, and it says that you can fill out any question that you want to. Well, let me kind of clarify the any question that you want to. I mean, you're welcome to put whatever you want to on it. We may not talk about it, but here's what that card is about. We are planning, if everything will go well, my father and I have a good friend. My father is really good friends with him, with a marriage counselor that works out of Hendersonville, Tennessee. I have spent a great deal of time with him just in studying for this series, and I have asked him if he would come and be here one weekend in a couple of weeks, and he is going to try his best to be here with us live in a couple of weeks. Here's what that little card is for. That card is for you to write a question anonymously that you would love to hear answered from someone that sits down with married couples day in, day out, trying to help them solve the problems of their marriage. And so, any questions you may have, and let me just say, single person, throw them at them too. Things that you're interested about, you know, looking for a mate or whatever it is. This is your chance to do something that we don't often have an opportunity to do. He'll be with us live in a couple of weeks. That's what that's for. And you can throw that in the offering or, you know, give it to somebody after the service or something. Excuse me. Now, second thing. At the ends of some of the rows, there should be surveys laying on the floor. Now, some of you may have to hunt for these, but they're at the end, at one end of each row, there's a stack of surveys. Now, if you're sitting there, I want you to grab that stack of surveys, and I want you to pass it down the row. We purposely kind of waited on that to let you know about that so that you could, you know, wait till now to see it and let your eyes feast on it, and that way you wouldn't be, you know, making paper airplanes at the band. And this survey has got some pretty potent stuff on it, and this, once again, is another anonymous thing, and here's what we're after with the survey. Just listen to me for 1 second, and you can look at the survey here in a little while, and you can fill it out while I'm talking, or, you know, doodle, whatever, I don't care. And here's what I want. I want honesty. I want you to answer these questions honestly. There's a section there for people that are married. There's a section there for people that are single. And we're not going to, don't put your names on them. We don't want to know, you know, who you are. We don't want to know how many times you have sex with your spouse. You know, I hope you are having sex with your spouse, but we're not interested in knowing, you know, all that, you know, personally. We want the information collectively. And we're going to use some of that information in the weeks to come, but not, you know, against anybody, obviously, because it's all anonymous. So just hang on to that and fill that out. And at the end of the service, get that to somebody. This is the only Sunday we're doing the survey. So this is your only chance to do the survey. So make sure that you do that before you go. Let me throw out, you may be looking at the survey, and I want to throw out while you're doing that some reasons for divorce. In fact, I've got a top 10 here. I'm a Letterman fan, and if anybody you can appreciate that, you know, if you want to touch the pumpkin. But top 10 reasons for divorce. And I don't usually do top 10 reason things, but it just kind of wound up being about 10, and I just said, man, this is too good. Let's do this. And here are the reasons that I came up with. And some of you in your marriage right now, and some of you that are single right now, especially if you're single here today, I just want you to know that this message series applies to you just as much as it does anybody else in here. Because you need to be aware of some of this stuff before you get into relationships. Or you may be in a relationship that when you hear some of this stuff through this series, you may go, you know what, I need to get out of that relationship. Here's some of the top 10. Fight over finances and money. Growing apart because of not spending time together. Kids become a distraction, and in talking with our counselor friend, he told me especially, and this is not picking on any particular situation here, but he said he has seen a lot especially of this when it comes to having stepkids in the equation, that you just have to work a little harder sometimes for that. Sexual intimacy and communication breakdown. Unresolved anger, lack of conflict resolution skills. You know, maybe your spouse did something that made you angry, and you're just kind of holding on to that thing, and you just keep holding on, and you're just holding on to it. And whether you realize it or not, that is creating a burr between you and your spouse, and it's creating a dissension between something that God created, which was marriage. Number 6, failed expectations and unmet needs. You know, a lot of us, when we get into marriage, you know, we're just like, you know, especially girls, had a conversation with some folks here lately that are here, and they say, you know, girls are like happily ever after. You know, it's got to be happily ever after. It's going to be, you know, the prince on the white horse. Only in Cheatham County, I think it's like an off-white Camaro or something. But So you've got these expectations and you get into it and it's not exactly what you thought it would be. And so it winds up failing you in some way you feel like. And so that's number six. Number seven, a dramatic change in priorities. Maybe something major in life has happened and the priorities have shifted around. We're going to talk about the priorities that are in your home here in just a second. Number eight is infidelity, cheating or adultery, however you want to put it there. The infidelity word, I think, is a little bit nicer word, but I mean, it's all the same. Number nine is physical, sexual, emotional, or substance abuse. Now, I kind of lumped these together. These were really two things because substance abuse is its own thing, and addiction, using something, substance abuse kind of its own thing, but then, the physical, emotional, and sexual abuse stuff here, and this is real. And some of you sitting in here have got testimony to this, and I'm not going to ask you to share today. I just want you to know that I understand that this is real. I've dealt with this with people, and you have too, I'm sure. You know someone that's been going through this, maybe is going through something like this, feels trapped. And then number 10 is lack of commitment. And here's I think, number 10, this lack of commitment is kind of where I wanted to lead us into this. And although we're not going to get to talk about all these today, we're going to be hitting a lot of these throughout this series. And I'll just tell you, I've really struggled with, we're trying to make this series a four-week series. And I've really struggled with the amount of stuff, the amount of content that we're talking about throughout the series and making it a four-week and making it still everything that it needs to be for everybody that's going to come. And so just pray for me in that way. But the lack of commitment thing is one of those things that I think a lot of us, when we get into a marriage relationship, we think, I just love him. I just love her. We're going to make it through. Everything's going to be all right because all we need is love. Dun, 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 dun. All we need is love. Well, that's not true. Love is not all we need. I hate to, rain on the Beatles parade. Fan of the Beatles, but it's not all we need. We need commitment. Because when times get tough, love is not all you need. You need commitment to one another. Now, commitment can be born out of love, but there are times when it's tough that we may love the person, but if our commitment is not strong, if it is not true to that person, then truthfully, we're going to struggle with sticking it out. And I'll just tell you, the reason people are taking the easy escape is because people are not willing to stick it out. People are not committed to doing this. People are not committed to their marriages. We deal with this with church work a lot. I'm sure you deal with this at your work a lot. People that are not committed to following through with something that's, I'm going to do this. And the thing that we miss is that marriage is probably the biggest commitment we could ever make in our entire life. And it's the very thing that God created that stands for something that's so huge and so large. We're going to talk about this in a few weeks, but that's the bride of Christ, the relationship between God and the church. Marriage is a huge, huge thing. I don't think I've got to tell you that. But there's work to be involved. There's a lot of work that goes along with the commitment to marriage. And sometimes we don't feel like doing it. We're like, you know what? I've had a long day. It's been a long week. I've got a rough job. Chris, you don't know the situation with our kids. It's just crazy. My sister-in-law has 6 kids. If you want to ever see crazy, let me just ride you over to White House sometime. And, for that matter, we'll go over there and then we'll take a ride in their church van that they bought from a church I used to be a youth minister at because they can't get all the kids in anything else that's made. And we'll go to the store with them and then I'll show you crazy. I'm telling you, it's nuts. But I want to tell you what, man, you want to talk about an unbelievably godly mother and a godly wife. And you know what? They struggle just like the rest of us, but it takes work. It takes work. I talked with somebody recently. They told me this great story about when they first got married and they thought it was going to be happily ever after. In fact, I think they said that right after they left to go on the honeymoon, they hadn't really gotten to eat And so they couldn't remember exactly what it was, but they wound up stopping at like McDonald's or Taco Bell or something. You know, and here, you know, and my wife and I, we can vouch for this. We stopped at, of all the McDonald's we could have stopped at, we stopped at Trinity Lane McDonald's on the way to our honeymoon because we didn't get to eat all day. You don't get to eat on that day because there's so much going on. And we're just riding by and like, hey, Golden Arches. She's like, let's do it. So, you know, Trinity Lane it is. Well, this person was telling me they had, you know, the fast food on the way. And then on top of all this other stuff started happening. They went down to the honeymoon. The hotel wasn't, you know, I don't think the hotel was quite what they were expecting. And the whole experience, you know, it wasn't, you know, we have this envision sometime. And single people, you may be thinking this right now. So just get ready to ride on this one when you jump in. But we have this vision that, you know, everything's going to be five-star hotels and fancy restaurants, and it's not. In fact, this person told me that they went to the car wash to wash their husband's beautiful Firebird, and the because it had all the stuff on it from them getting married, I guess. And while they're in the car wash starts taking the paint off the car. They're on their honeymoon. The paint starts coming off the car. And so, of course, you know, what? I mean, car guys, come on, what are we going to do? We're not going to be happy with this situation, okay? Honeymoon or not, this is not a good thing. And then on top of that, they get home from the honeymoon, and they have been robbed. Somebody has broken into their house and stolen all of their stuff. They had a whole week to steal whatever they wanted to, I guess. And so they stole all their stuff. And so, you know, we jump into marriage and we think, you know, this is going to be a great thing, and it is a great thing, but, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work out like what we thought that it would. And I tell you, the work that goes into marriage, I think of this passage of Scripture right here, and this really has to do with everybody that we know and that we love, but, you know, truthfully, it even has to do with our enemies when it comes down to it. But John 15, 13 says this, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And just let's just keep that up there for just a second. I like the fallen leaf. That's nice. Oh, I don't usually get to see the screen, so I never know what's on. You know, this passage of Scripture, I mean, we can look at this right here and we can say, okay, Chris, I'm down with that. You know, we're supposed to be good friends to people. No, let's read this. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Now let me ask you a question while that's still up there. Who is your best friend? If you're married, your best friend should be your spouse. Now, it doesn't mean that you and your spouse like everything the same and, you know, all that stuff. You know, people get it, well, you know, he likes to do this and I like to do that. You know, look, that's not what being best friends is about. Being best friends is about this commitment that we were just talking about a minute ago to loving one another unconditionally. And I'll tell you what, if that applies to our friends, it sure as heck applies to our marriage. That we would lay down our life for one another. I had somebody tell me it like this, that being married is kind of like gardening. Now, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I hate gardening. I hate it. I don't mind using that word either with it. Because I grew up and my dad loves it. And I would get drugged down to some stinking field out in the middle of nowhere where he'd talk somebody into letting him plant tomato plants. And we'd be out there all day because, you know, he can't have too many tomato plants. He's had, you know, upwards of 1,000 tomato plants a year, some years. You know, and I'm just like, you know, okay, you know, enough's enough. Let's, you know. And so, you know, as a kid, you're out there and you're leaving, you know, hanging out in the field and it's boring and, you know, you're trying to find a snake to throw or something and nothing's going your way. Well, the person who was talking to me about this said, you know, gardening is one of those things that, you know, if you really enjoy it and you really understand the importance of it, then you understand that you have to constantly work on it. You have to constantly be pulling weeds. You have to constantly be willing to sacrifice time. And I'll just tell you, Satan is finding his way into our marriages through making us, getting us, enticing us to do things like sacrificing our time somewhere else. Sacrificing our commitment to something else. I'll tell you, I gave you a top 10, but I'll tell you the biggest reason that people divorce is this. Are you ready for this? Because this wasn't in any of the books that I read. The biggest reason that people divorce is because they don't have God first in their life. And you can say, Chris, that's a cookie cutter Sunday school answer. Listen, it is what it is. We're spending a week talking about that in a few weeks. And if you don't have your relationship with God right, then let me just guarantee you something. Your marriage will never be right. You can write that down. You might as well laminate that thing and tape it up in the shower so you can see it every day. Because as important as your relationship is with your spouse, and this leads me to, you know, kind of the priorities of what we're called to scripturally, as important as our relationship is with our spouse, our relationship to God is so important. Because without it, our relationship to our spouse can't be what God intended it to be. There's no way. We won't make it. Satan will overthrow us. He will get his way until that is right. The whole food chain here of priorities that God calls us to is real simple. And I'm just going to throw this out at you. And this is going to rock some people's world here for just a second here. But I want you to listen to me as I'm kind of going through it. And that's that God is first, number one. God's number one. Number two is who? Spouse. Number three, kids. Our kids. Now, just real quick, let me finish up. Number three is kids. And number four is, you know, kids, and then following there right after family. And number four is our church. And number five, obviously, are, you know, the commitments that we have in life, our work, you know, and all this other stuff. Now, some of us in here, if we're real honest today, and this is gonna sting a little bit, but I'm telling you what, if you can get this now, young family, single person, whatever, you need to get this now, put this in your pipe and smoke it, because you want this when that day comes that you're starting to mimic the things that God wants you to become. And that's that a lot of people get number two and number three backwards. Now, there's a lot of people that, you know, we're all guilty at times of getting these things mixed around, and especially God being number one. Let's all face it, we're all terrible, we're all sinners, and, you know, at times we're going to get God, you know, somewhere down the line, and then all of a sudden we kind of get a wake-up call, like maybe right now you're getting a wake-up call and going, you know what, God's not number one in my life. You know, this is number one in my life. Maybe it's my job, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. But here's what happens. So many families, and this is a huge reason for divorce, and I can attest to this from being a youth pastor for 10 years. If you want personal testimony of seeing families divorce like that, I'm giving it to you right now, and it's because a lot of families put their kids before their spouse. And mom and dad, that's up to us. Single person, when you get married, that's up to you and your spouse. And you say, well, Chris, that sounds kind of mean. No, it's not mean, and it doesn't mean that you don't love your kids, and I want to clarify that. It doesn't mean that you don't love, you know, little Johnny and little Susie. What it means is that you love little Johnny and little Susie enough to show them the marriage, to portray, to model the marriage that God would want them to see, so that one day when they recreate what you did, they're doing it right. And I'll just tell you, I've seen so many families. I'll tell you what, so many people think, you know, we got several kids, everything's going well. Man, we're just doing good. We're going to church. But if they've got the kids first, here's what happens. They may make it. They may make it until the kids get out of high school. And then you want me to tell you what happens? This is what happens in the 10 years that I was a youth minister. I would have students that as they were graduating high school within 6 months coming into my office and sitting on my couch and saying, Mom and Dad are getting a divorce, and I don't know why. They've been married 20-something years. They've been married 30-something years, and they're getting a divorce. I can't explain it. I don't understand. And that kid was life to that couple. And the only thing that kept that couple together was that kid. And they lived for that kid, and they breathed for that kid, and they played sports for that kid, and they did everything they could for that kid. And somewhere along the way, they ceased to even know who they were married to. And I could list out names of kids that would gladly get up here and tell you this story today of their life. If that is where you are, I just encourage you so much. Don't be there. Rekindle the relationship that you once had with your spouse. You know, I'm just going to go on and say this. You know, maybe tonight, maybe you had plans to do something. Maybe you need to cancel. Maybe you just need to cancel plans tonight. Maybe you say, you know what, we're always with other people. We're always doing something with the kids. You need to call somebody up, say, hey, why don't you come over and hang out with our kids so they don't burn the house down? If you don't mind, stay the night. We'll pay you extra, you know, whatever. We'll be back just in time in the morning to pick them up or whatever. And you may need to go and have a fancy dinner and stay in the Days Inn in Jolton. I don't know if I recommend that one really or not. Probably not. But you may need to go somewhere and just get alone and get out that sexy stuff that you hadn't seen in a while and just get it done tonight. And you know what I'm talking about here. Remember that the person that you married is somebody that you love. Remember that they matter to you. In fact, I'm going to give you something right now that this has been my biggest struggle about putting this series together, is whether to do a whole week on this one thing that I'm about to tell you. And I have come to the decision I'm going to try to sprinkle this through the entire thing to keep us in 4 weeks. And it's this. And this is huge. And it's simple. And it'll change you if you just think this way sometimes. Women, men need respect. Men, women need love. Now, that's simple, but I'm going to say it again. Women, men need respect. And men, women need love. You say, Chris, that's just, okay, whatever. Yeah, that's the way we both need both of those, don't we? Well, yeah. But there's an importance involved here. And it has to do with our design. And in fact, I want us to look today at the biblical design of what God created man and woman to be. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to Genesis chapter 3. If not, you can just chase along with us here. And in Genesis chapter 3, we see what God intended after the fall of man. Now, God, at first, of course, made us perfect in His image, and you know, we were doing great. And then we had Adam and Eve, and they came along, and you got that woman with the apple and the snake and all that stuff. Man, that's just a mixture for trouble right there, is a woman and an apple and a snake. somebody will be mad at me because I said that. I'm just kidding. And we have the fall of man. We have the fall of man. We have Eve tempting Adam, and they fall into sin. They do it together. Let's face it. They fall into sin, and what do? They eat from the one tree in the garden that God says, just, you know, everything else is great and good, man. Just hang in here and do whatever you got to do, but don't do this one thing. Don't eat from this tree. And, of course, here comes Satan. You know, and Satan's like, hey, guess what? You know, if you'll eat that, you know, you'll know everything that God knows. And they start doubting. Oh, maybe we should eat of it. Maybe God's just trying to keep us from being as cool as He is. And so they eat, they sin, they disobey God. And because they disobey God, God has to punish them. And so here is the curse that we can thank Adam and Eve for, because they brought it on. We probably would have if they hadn't, but they brought it on. They were the first, and here it is. Verse 16 says, to the woman He said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Now, let me preface this with also saying that Scripture also teaches us that children are a blessing. It's not that kids themselves are a curse, okay? Although, I've met a few. Some of yours, to be exact. I'm just kidding. It also goes on to say, this is also for the woman here, it says, your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Now, right there, a lot of people, we've got some women in here right now going, what? What are you about to start teaching about here? I'm just sharing it like it is. I don't come up here and make crap up. This is God's word, and I just share it. It says, your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute. It goes on in verse 17. It says, to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife, woman, and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the fields. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. And so for men, the curse is you got to work. You got to work it. And I'm going to share some stuff with us in the next few minutes that I really truthfully believe has a lot to do with why so many families get a divorce. And it's because we have lost the biblical basis for what our marriage was supposed to be built on. And I'm just going to tell you, some of the stuff I'm going to share with you in the next few minutes may seem uncomfortable to you. It is not targeted at anybody in here. I'm just sharing God's word and what he has laid on my heart. And I just want you to know that he wants you to hear it. I believe that with all my heart. In this passage of scripture, we see that man, and we know from past scripture and all as well, that man is called to grow up, leave the nest, and what? Work. We know that from that passage of scripture we just read. It's supposed to work and then begin seeking a wife. Well, then start a family. But I want to come back and I want to compare these things from then to now. Today, here's what men desire. Just throwing it out here. They want sex. They don't want a family or a commitment in a relationship, because that infringes on our freedom, or kids, because it infringes on our freedom. And they don't want to work, we want to be lazy. Now, I want you to see something. What I'm saying here is I'm not saying that all men, this is what they want. But today in our culture, this is what our culture promotes, right? I mean, we see the commercials. What do the commercials say? Well, don't get too tied down, because it's happening on the beach right now. And if you go hang out on the beach, well, that's where it's at, because then you can have all you want of everything you want, no commitment involved. And we have the beginning of a demise where Satan has taken blessed things and twisted them. You go on here and we've got women. In Scripture, we just read that they are called to care for their husband, to take care of their children, and to make their home a wonderful place. If you look through Scripture, this is a big deal. And you see some incredible things of women making their homes incredible places. In fact, we don't have time for it today, but you see all kinds of churches. This is incredible. Especially as somebody that has started a church, we see all kinds of churches started out of the homes of women that felt called to make their home a wonderful place. And they, in turn, started other churches, and those churches grew. And basically, we can link back to individual ladies in Scripture that because their home was a place worthy for a church to meet in, that no telling how many people have come to God. Today, I'm told that hospitality in the last 20 years has dropped 50%. People don't hang out. They don't even have their friends over anymore, much less their, you know, neighbors or their enemies. We've gotten out of this mindset. We've bought into a culture that tells us, hey, guess what? You need more. And you need to get out of, you know, this way of thinking so that you can go get more. We talked last week about how rich we are, and I don't think any of us would doubt that, especially after last week's service, that we are extremely rich. Even the poorest of us in here are extremely rich compared to so many people in this world. Let's take the kids, for example, here. Kids in Scripture need this: love, discipline, consistency, and interaction. Now, they may need more. I'm just, you know, these are just some prominent things that really stuck out to me as I was studying Scripture. But today, here's what's happening. 40% of kids grow up without a dad. And less than, and I'll just tell you, this is just mind-boggling to me. It really is. Especially when we live in America. Less than 25% have either parent at home. And this study was only done on homes that had both parents. I know there's a lot of situations in here. We've got a lot of single parent families. This was a study done only on homes that have both mom and dad in the home, and less than 25% have either parent hanging out at the house with the kid. You say, Chris, you know, is this really that big a deal? I would say that it's such a big a deal that if Christians everywhere would understand the importance of some of this very basic biblical teaching, our world would be completely changed. Our world would be completely changed for several reasons. We're going to talk about some of those. Microsoft, get this, Mr. Bill Gates himself did a study. He was interested in, and I don't know why, I don't know much about Bill Gates. I'm sure Jason does, wherever he's at today. He's our resident computer geek. But Bill Gates had a study done because he was interested in finding out about double income homes where both parents are working. And I know we've got a lot of folks that do that. And to a sense, in my own home, we have to do that and have done that. But this study done by Bill Gates says that two-parent working families where you've got two incomes within the same home are in worse financial shape than the single income two-parent homes. Which made him want to study even more. Why is this so? And he goes on and he says that they found out that, number one, that both working increases the cost of living, so they're bumped into another tax bracket, paying more of that. That second person has to have a wardrobe ready for work that costs some cash. They have to have a car that's reliable to get back and to from work, so that costs some cash. And then they have the commute by itself. Just out of curiosity, how many of you in here on average drive over, let's say 20 or 30 minutes, drive over that? I would say majority probably in here. Very cool. So you've got the commute, you got the gas, and Lord knows what that costs today or what it will tomorrow. And then because no one is at home during the day, they eat out more, because you eat out lunch a lot of times unless you take it, and then you get home, you're tired, and you know it's just easier to order pizza or whatever, and you know I'm down with that every once in a while. And we do a good deal of eating out ourselves. It's one of those things we fall into. And then it says, the study showed, I thought this was pretty surprising, that people that had dual income homes were so burned out that they spent double the money on entertainment because they felt like they needed to unwind. And they couldn't just unwind just, you know, hanging out with their spouse when they got home. And then, here's the kicker, and I think we all probably know this one's coming, then comes the childcare. And they said they did the study and wanted to find out what average time was spent in childcare, and that it was like 10 hours a day. 5 days a week, 10 hours a day, you do the math, 50 hours a week of spending money on childcare instead of that second person staying home. Bill Gates says this. I'm just quoting Bill Gates. Go get mad at him. And he's not even God. He says, if you add it up, unless the second person is making, he actually says, and I think this is a pretty crazy amount here. I'd venture to say probably half this, but even still, it's a lot of money. He said, unless the second person is making at least $200,000 a year, that it's not worth it. Now, I would say Bill Gates lives somewhere different than we do. I don't know. I'm just going out on a limb here. But I would venture to say that if most of us were real honest and we really looked at the budget and we really looked at what life would be like if we did it the other way, that we would probably come up with some pretty shocking stuff. And what it comes down to is that a lot of us are just plain old scared of relying on God sometimes and letting Him kind of work and do His deal and our faithfulness to Him when He has called us to do some certain things. Now, I want to say this. I know that we've got a lot of folks with a lot of different situations in here. I know that. I don't want you to think that Chris is up here today saying, everybody, you know, if you're not, you know, if mom is not at home, then you're going to hell. You know, that's not what I'm saying. Okay, just get that now. I'm not saying that at all. I know that we have all kinds of different situations, but I know that we've probably got some folks in here that are just absolutely killing their marriage today because they're trying to make it and doing this two-income thing, and you're driving around in a big hunk of debt all the time, and you're living in a big hunk of debt, and the truth is that it's not really that we have to do this. It's that we want more stuff. And we want to live, you know, in that place. And I'll just tell you, I have lived in that place. I lived in an incredible house before we left to start the church. Had an incredible paying job. I thought, man, I'm going to stay doing this forever. Working with kids. I never thought I'd get paid that much money working with teenagers and being an idiot. And I'll just tell you, nothing is that important. That neighborhood is not that important. That house is not that important. That car is not that important. I'm a car guy. It's a big deal. I'm saying that. We have so much stuff. We could put half the junk that we don't use on eBay and probably pay a salary for a year. And that's true. We really could. And if you don't know how to do that, I'll be glad to show you if it'll help you, because I do know how. This report released, and once again, I'm just sharing information here. You can go Google this stuff if you want to, but a report released on kids being in daycare. It's a very controversial report. I'm just sharing it. I'm not saying this is typical all the time, whatever, but it does say that those children have higher tendencies toward deviancy, anger, depression, social dysfunction. And I would say, especially the social dysfunction, herein lies what is one of those things that we saw in Scripture that kids need? Discipline. How can your daycare discipline your kid? They can't. If they discipline your kid, you own the daycare. That's the society that we live in. And I know that some of you have worked so hard at a college degree that you can't imagine doing anything else. But I'll tell you what. The happiest mothers that I know on the face of this earth are the mothers that are at home with their kids and are helping take care of their husbands and being there for their kids, and they're showing their kids discipline. And here's what I'll tell you that I've seen as a common trend. And I can track it all the years of me being in student ministry, working with teenagers. I can tell the difference. You could give me, I promise you I can do this. You give me five teenagers and give me an hour. And I can come back out of a room with being with those five teenagers after an hour and never once ask them what it was like when they were a small child. But I can tell you what it was like when they were a small child. Just how they interact with me We are turning children over to the world and saying, hey, you take care of them. I'm hands off. And I, once again, I know there are situations in here, especially with some single parent homes in here. I know, I cannot imagine what you must go through and the pain that you must feel. I know that some of you want to do this. You want so badly to be at home with those kids. I know that. I'm not saying today you need to go quit your job. I'm just saying this is what I see as a response to what I see going on in culture with families getting divorced one right after the other, and they're taking an easy escape. And I think a lot of times it's because they've taken other easy escapes along the way. And one of those easy escapes is just not hanging out with their kids. Your time with your kids is so important. But your time with your spouse is even more important. And your kids will see that. And you see, it just trickles down, because above that is your time with God is even more important than your time with your spouse, because your time with God is going to dictate who you are, what kind of husband you're going to be, what kind of wife you're going to be, what kind of mom or dad you're going to be. All comes directly from who God is in your life. And what kind of kids you're going to have is directly affected by who you and your spouse are together. God created marriage to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. I mean, full of blessings. Scripture talks about sex and kids and all of these things as blessings. But here's what Satan has done. Satan has taken these things that were supposed to be blessings, supposed to be things that would just bless our marriages and take our marriages to a level that we just never could imagine it could be so good to live on this earth, heaven on this side, if you will. And he has corrupted them, and he has taken them, and he has thrown them out into culture and made them something that they're not. We're scared of our own kids. We're scared of the word sex. We think that it only has to do with bad things or things that we don't want to have anything to do with, and that's not the case at all. We have to search Scripture to see what those things are, because our world, even in the most subtle of ways, is telling us to go with the opposite of that. And in this passage of Scripture that we looked at a minute ago, and we see, and I wish we had more time to really discuss and talk through some of this stuff, but we see some stuff that God just laid out, and it's true, and man, even culture knows this stuff. I mean, look at this. Right, here we go. You want to talk about ladies? Well, man, I had somebody go get these this morning. By the way, none of the gas stations around here sell magazines anymore. Didn't know that until this morning. Would have been nice to know that before. They should have told us. Jane. I don't know anything about Jane. I think we've got Jessica Simpson here on the front. Jessica, on sex after divorce. First time I've even read this. I'm reading it to you. Get the best haircut of your life. Steals and deals. 140 steals and deals, by the way. Heels, bags, boots, dresses, and more for under $100. What the? Here you go. This is one for you. Sex so good, your neighbors will complain. I'm just putting it out there. Fashion gets flirty. 297 ways to rock it inside. You know, this cover alone is playing on the very design of what God meant for women. What did I say just a little while ago? Men, what do women need? Love. They need love. They need affection. They need for us to touch them. This is all about how to get men to do that toward us. Now, you go shopping much more for any women's magazines, and if it's not something like this, what's it going to be? It's going to have like a man on the front of it holding a baby or something, right? You know, and what's the deal with that? Once again, wired up to be with those kids. Once again, the happiest mothers I know on this earth are the mothers that have made their life about what God has called them to and taking care of their husbands, taking care of their kids. And it's just a tough thing to do when you have to work too. I know some people have to do it. I'm just putting it out there. Here's a men's magazine. I was more specific with the men's magazine. I said, you know, send them after a money magazine. And we know the deal with money magazine, but you got the same principles here coming through, even though it's not money language. Lean and strong, see results in just 14 days. 12 foods you must never eat. Drop 10 pounds in 30 days. Of course, this is mega health here, so conquer stress. The mind-body workout, bench press twice your weight. Is your doctor killing you? What that's about. Get NFL tough. Why somebody, I guess it's an NFL player, can't be stopped, and how you can become stronger, fitter, and faster. You know, what they're saying here is, men, you need to be in the best shape of your life, because what do you got to do? You've got to succeed. And you go find any other men's magazine, if it's not a health magazine, what's it going to be about? It's going to be about money. It's going to be about making money. And why is that? Because they know something that they may not even realize. It's encrypted in the culture. It's in God's design that men were wired up to have to work. And then you got the kids stuff here, and you say, well, Chris, with the kids thing, you know, we know what men and women are wired up to do. What's the deal with the kids thing? Well, here's what happens. Our kids, they go live in daycares. And I don't mean that in a negative way. It kind of sounded negative, and I didn't mean it that way. But they spend a lot of time in daycares where they can't be disciplined, and they grow up without discipline. And by the way, parents, it is our responsibility to discipline our kids. And because we don't discipline our kids, or they can't discipline our kids, what do? They barter with them. They're like, well, here, you know, I'll give you another Nilla wafer if you won't, you know, jack Tommy in the jaw anymore, you know? You know? And then we as parents, we've raised our kids to do this, and then we do the same thing with them. We're like, you know, they're like 16 years old, and we're like, hey, you know, I've been thinking you've been a pretty good kid, you know, you've not killed anybody yet, and I was thinking, since, you know, you hadn't done that, I was going to tell you, if you won't kill anybody, I'll buy you a car. You know, we barter with them. And then what happens? They grow up and they want to barter for everything in life. There's no discipline involved. And then when it comes time for them to leave the nest, they're not ready. Not ready to leave the nest. They go to college, and what happens? They fail. Over and over, they just fail, 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 fail. And you want to track it back to when they were 1 and 2 and 3, when we're spending those years with those kids. And once again, I'm just telling you, this has long-term effects. And I know some of you are sitting in here today going, man, I wish I'd heard this like 20 years ago. That's okay. God is an incredible God, and He can do anything. And if He needs to revitalize your family just like it is right now, your kids are gone and moved away and gone to college, that's okay. God can do that. And He wants to do that. And my biggest concern in here today is, I don't want anybody to feel like they've been picked on today, number one. Because this is just God's Word. This is just His Scripture. This is just Him showing truths about how He made us. And when we learn how we are made to be for Him, that we were made to give Him glory, to worship Him, when we understand that, we begin to fulfill who we are. I'm telling you what, it's the best thing that's ever happened in your life, when you become fulfilled in who God is. Next week, we're going to talk more about love and respect, and specifically communication and sexual intimacy. Don't bring the kids, okay? I wanna just pray for us right now. I wanna pray for my family. I wanna pray for your family. I wanna pray for all the families that are represented in this room today. We're gonna be worshiping some more here in just a minute through some song. And I just my heart is heavy for what is going on in this day and age, and for where families are and the decisions that they're making. And And I just want you to know that God has a plan and he has a purpose for who you are. Don't be afraid to fulfill that. If he's calling you, if he's speaking your heart about something today, you know, pray about it, seek him about it, talk to somebody about it. It's your marriage. It's that important. It's your family. It's that important. Don't give up. Don't quit. This is not quitting time. Okay? Let me pray for us. God, I just thank you so much for who you are and for what you have done for us. God, I just pray that you would show yourself to us in just an incredible way, God, to these families. God, I just worry so much. God, for each of the families that are represented here today, God, I know that we have families here today that are contemplating getting a divorce. They've been contemplating things like maybe their situation financially, and I know so many families, just even in our church, that have been trying to figure out a way for mom to just come home and be with the kids, at least until they go to school. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would impress upon the hearts of our people, God, what you want them to hear. God, that you would get the glory in each one of these families. Lord, I pray, Lord, that our families would mimic something that you created, God, and that you would just be glorified through all of it. We love you, Lord. God, I just pray as we worship you together in the next few moments, God, that you would be glorified. In your name I pray. Amen.